That's Thad Jones on trumpet opening up Midnight Walk, the title track from drummer brother Elvin Jones's 1966 album. Abdullah Ibrahim on piano, Don Moore on bass, and George Abend on percussion. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. And what do we describe the times we're in? What is the word that we use to describe it? Donald Trump's week from hell continues this week, even as he and his minions try desperately to blunt the force and effect of deep body blows that have the new administration reeling. Trump's Washington honeymoon is over. Far sooner than imagined, far sooner than intended. The awe of Trump is now mostly shock and increasingly fury. Yet in the face of increasing opposition, even within his own party, Trump predicts he'll prevail, or at least he's acting as if he will prevail. In the meantime, people are just numb. They don't know. What do you call this? Is this an administration at war with itself? That's exactly what is going on. The president is actually demanding an investigation into his own administration. He's fighting himself. It's as if, you know, a massive dose of medication or something has been administered in Washington, and everybody, in one way or the other, is going crazy. And what is even more jarring is that you're beginning to panic because you have no rational reason to explain how come, with a situation as crazy as it is, people appear to be very calm. I mean, they're having a little fight and everything, but other than that, they're calm and business goes on. This is insanity. Well, what's the latest with Donald Trump? The first thing I think I want to mention is how clearly, when you really sit down and analyze things, you can see things very, very clearly, as our listeners absolutely did. Remember, we talked about the president, when he senses that he's in a no-win situation, he's going to throw people some bones just to divert attention for, even if for a minute, a hot minute or two, so that he can continue. And of course, we have news today that that bone, this was from David for Brooklyn, your bone is being thrown today. We predicted that the president will do something to amend his position, his immigration position, and it's supposed to come today. He's supposed to announce today an amended ban. And that should take the heat off, they think, until, of course, something else pops up. But the point I'm making is that as complex as people are making Donald Trump to be, and how just crazy and complicated the situation appears to be, when you sit down and you think about it, a lot of this is quite predictable. Quite predictable. What we ought to be paying attention to is what is happening with us. Donald Trump is not being unusual. This is the way he clearly is accustomed to operating. This is his version of what it means to be in charge. Chaos everywhere, chaos. And fear. You're supposed to be terrified from minute to minute about what will happen. And as you know, with this most recent development, where Donald Trump has accused the previous president of spying on him and wiring his offices, his campaign office, and his eventual part-time office, real office, at Trump Tower in New York City, he has no evidence yet. No evidence has been brought forward. But he wants an investigation. And he wants the FBI to, the Justice Department, sorry, to investigate the FBI. It should occur to him that it's his, both agencies are now part of his administration. And now he's ordering one part of his administration, the Justice Department. He wants the Justice Department to investigate the FBI. And he doesn't see anything wrong. There's nothing bizarre about this. Nor is there anything bizarre about the expectation that he should have smooth sailing as president, who himself throws his administration into chaos. Did I tell you there's something wrong with this man? I mean, who thinks like that? And wants to persuade America and the world that this is normal. There's nothing wrong here. He wants to expose his own administration and wants to make a big case out of it. Now, on the other hand, here's what's so crazy. What's so crazy is that it could possibly be true. It could be true. This is how chaotic our situation is. But when you look at all of the elements at play in this scenario, the truly crazy ones are, guess who? The ones who are sitting by thinking that the organization, the governmental organization as it is, somehow will kick in and things will be solved. And you know, as they say in the Bible, every crooked path would be made straight. It doesn't work this way. What we are seeing is the chaos and the disorganization and the backbiting and, you know, the treachery and the lies and the deceit that are all endemic in American politics. And now, when people sense there's some blood in the water, it's going to pick up speed, because now Trump is a quarry. He is a prize to be had, even among his own folks. They're looking for ways, since he looks like he's wounded, how to speed up his dispatch. And even within his own ranks, he cannot trust his own people. He does not trust his own people. He does not trust the CIA or the FBI or any of the intelligence agencies. He does not trust the media. He trusts his daughter. He trusts his sons and his son-in-law, and perhaps about two or three other people. And we're not sure whether he is investing his time, or he intends to invest his time, being president or avenger, or some curious combination of both, the president avenger or the avenging president. We don't know. But in any event, it is not the way you run a country. What he has done is laid bare what we have been dealing with for centuries in this country as leadership. Maybe not as bizarre, not as crazy and unhinged, but essentially the same. The idea that democracy is out of the question. The president absolutely now has become he is the guy. There is no need for a Congress. There is no need for participation by anybody, because he has all the answers. He knows everything. And he is the law. I mean, he's not imagining these things. This is his approach. And surprisingly, a lot of people want it that way. They want it that way because finally there's a president who embodies, this is the spirit of the nation. And he's utterly devoted to white supremacy, white nationalism. This is what will make America great again. You establish the basics. The basics are that this is a white country. Everybody ought to fall in line. We pledge our faith and troth to the white leader who knows how to run things. We must trust in his capacity, his leadership capacity. And we must be willing to suffer. It is not going to be an easy ride. But progress sometimes demands that we suffer and sacrifice and accept the inconvenience of having to put up with people who just don't see the light. As we can see, with all of the brain power, the supposed brain power that we have in Washington, D.C., this is what they deliver. This is them operating at full capacity. This is what they produce. Chaos and more chaos. And that brings me, because this is a subject I'm not letting go anytime soon. I'm saying the spectacular insanities that we are seeing coming out of Washington at this time are, as we have said on the program, we spotted it. We predicted this is where he's likely to go next. This is what he's likely to do next. When you understand or you invest in understanding how systems work, you also understand, or you get to understand, how people will work within those systems and will work those systems. You get it. You can see it coming down the road from far away. But at the same time, we ourselves are stuck in neutral. Our mouths are in overdrive, but our brains are in neutral because we are not paying attention to the work that is necessary now. I mean, we are almost out of time. And that is fashioning a way out of this mess, an alternative system to this. We know this cannot bring us the goodies that we seek. And they're not extravagant. You know, the demands of government are not at all extravagant. But we are not going to achieve them. That is already set. And if you notice, in the middle of all of this hubbub, all of this activity, there isn't very much that's going on that accounts for our input in the situation. We're not seeing to our interests. This is fatal. We are waiting and observing and we are analyzing and we're doing everything except acting on our priorities, acting on our agenda. We should see that even in the middle of all of this, the Democratic Party as a party is not likely to put up much of a fight, except, you know, they run their mouths about how terrible this is and how terrible that is. But that doesn't solve the problem. The problem is that system, the system promulgated by Donald Trump, the system he intends to implement and enforce, even by force of law, quote unquote, it's no good. It's not good for us. And it's not good for a large chunk of the world. It is excellent for that minority, this extreme minority, whose psychological needs at this time are quite overt and racist, but it is important to them, and they have the wherewithal and the means and the energy and the system to implement everything they choose to implement. We have nothing. People are fighting for a living wage at a Nissan manufacturing plant in Mississippi. They're out there in the blazing sun. The Congressional Black Caucus is busy having a party. So we see that our world is out of sync in practically every single pocket where we can look to activate our plan to see some indication that people are really in tune with what is happening at the ground level and that they are prepared to do something about it. They're listening to people. They're seeing and witnessing the hurt that has already begun. It's going to get much worse. And they have something close enough to a plan that they can try to implement. But that's not what's happening at all. We are already in the first quarter of this insane administration. We see that even with all the pomp and circumstance, with all the bravado and whatnot, Donald Trump's miscalculation is that this was going to be a cakewalk. This new system that he wants to implement, supposedly with the backing of the millions who voted for him, that this was going to be tough and a challenge, but quite doable because he has the reins of power in his hands. He is so powerful in his mind that he can even defy the establishment Republican Party. He just got served in a big way, just starting last week, that's not going to happen. Power is an odd thing. And they will show no mercy because he's threatening something that to them is very sacred. The white Anglo-Saxon power equation in this country is nothing to underestimate or to dismiss. They're letting him know that. And that's the fight between them. Who really constitutes the power elite in this country? The president, like any president, should have understood and should have indicated by now that he understands that there is a different power that runs this country. It's not the guy who wins the election. Hip, hip, hooray for you. But don't confuse your election to mean that you believe you're running this country. There's a whole different power that you, the president, the newly elected president, you've got to understand who runs the country and who you obey. Well, he kind of understands it because, as I said, here is a president. I mean, I don't know if people really got that point. He actually is demanding an investigation of his own administration because he cannot trust his own administration. And yet he wants his administration to investigate his administration. Now, this is how mad it is, but this is precisely the evidence that tells you that in the middle of all this madness, Donald Trump is real clear about certain things. He has been made clear about it. So if we are still stuck with the idea that we're fighting a guy with some weird ideas, now we are sadly mistaken. The Democratic Party understands this, and that is why they're silent. They have no plans whatsoever to counter this revelation that they are not going to be fighting Donald Trump. And they can't run that narrative anymore because it's out in the open. They can't fight this Democratic-Republican fight. That is done. It is useless to discuss this as some ideological struggle. There's no ideological struggle going on here. It's raw, unvarnished, unmitigated power. That's what you're fighting. You're fighting the people who really run the country. And it's not a party. And you have no rule book on how to fight this fight. People can now assemble, and we've seen the marches, and we've seen, you know, movements burgeoning. And people are talking about jobs and health care and so forth. That is not the fight anymore. That is not how this fight is going to work. You're talking about a system that has already made plans to militarize where you live. To contain your movements, contain your actions, to punish you severely for running astray. This is not an ideological fight about what the Republicans believe and what the Democrats believe. If that's where you think this is, if that's where you think we are, then you have to completely overhaul your thinking. This is the state. And it has even taken on the president in broad daylight. He's panicking. He's beginning to understand that his definition of power and being president of the United States is just so sophomoric. It's so wrongheaded. And it is so misplaced. This is a whole different kind of war going on here in Washington, D.C. He's waking up. The pity is that we are not waking up. We are thinking this is about constitutional rights. We are thinking about justice and equality and all of those lofty ideals that come with the political territory. But that is the nature of the fight that we used to have, and we now have to talk about it as being long ago. They're not interested in these discussions. They are ready, and they have begun a level of warfare that we're not prepared for. And in this scenario, our arguments are so completely irrelevant. Even Trump's arguments are irrelevant, because they just redefined the fight. And they redefined the fight at a time that they own the playbook. They know the rules because they're making them. And they're ready to exercise their power their way. You could yammer all day long about women's rights, about equal rights, about rights, period. It makes no difference. Not this kind of war. Not this kind of political engagement. You better come armed with some other kind of knowledge. And this is why I say the thing that should consume us is not only to understand this new world that we're living in and to disabuse ourselves of what are now archaic and completely useless ways of thinking, we got to get hip about the new war, the new arrangement. And within this new arrangement, really, what kind of rights, quote unquote, do we have? How do we secure those rights if we don't have a system? The Democratic Party is still stuck with the idea that political struggle involves ways of getting the most for themselves. It's a brutally primitive way of fighting. Those days are long dead and gone. They're struggling to figure out who is going to run for what seat and how much money they have to raise to put new candidates in office. Scenario, that whole political scenario, that whole cycle of life is dead. It makes no sense. Not if you study where these people already have gone. What's in play now is just a taste of what they intend to do. We have already been made redundant. Our struggles have already been made redundant. It's like, you know, we are believing that as it has been, so shall it continue to be. No. Things have changed. Take a look and you'll see. We cannot pretend that we even understand the fight. We can't pretend that we have tools to fight with, or that we have strategies that would make sense and that would score us a victory or two. I'm talking about the rules in play and the rules that will become more and more in play. It's vanquishing. It's a mentality that says you are in for utter destruction. The system is coming at you with everything it has, and you don't know what it is. You don't know when they'll strike, or where, or what you will do when they do strike. You will just wake up one morning, and you will see your friends and neighbors all being directed to walk down the street toward a kind of collection area. And they're the ones being collected. I mean, I don't mean to sound alarmist. I am saying simply that everything points to the putting in place of these dark systems. Everything points to it as the appropriate time for that system to activate itself. The main opposition has been sidelined. They have total control of just about every system of opposition. And we really have no strong way out. Not even the president. I want you to pay attention to this, because the more you pay attention, the more you see how, in so many ways, Donald Trump is part of us. They've already slapped limitations in all kinds of ways as to what he can and cannot do. He could go around continuing to fantasize publicly that he's a powerful guy who actually is president of the United States. But when a president reaches the point of saying, hey, I need my CIA, that I supposedly control, I need somebody to investigate my administration and the key agencies of my own administration. That's deep. That is deep. The media, in the meantime, have been covering this as, you know, just yet another scandal. And they have put it in the context of, well, it's a Russia connection. It's Russiagate. No, that's not the story. That's not the story. The story is that they are in the process, and they have already served Trump notice. They're going to break him, and they may just begin to rev up the implementation of the big plan that controls even him. You see, that's the big story. We have entered into a whole new era of power. That has very decisively put an end to this president and his shenanigans and the nonsense. He has to watch himself right now. I talked about that quite some time ago. There's only so far they will permit Donald Trump to go with his nonsense. And since he has to be compelled to understand the power arrangement, the standing power arrangement in this country, he has now been officially served notice. He'll get it straight. Well, I'll pause here for a minute and take some calls. I want you to think about this because we have to get to the nut of all of these arguments, which is, what are we going to do? What kind of system can we individually construct? You know, this is awesome, awesome power here. And we haven't yet begun to appreciate the full dimensions of this kind of power. This is raw power. This is almost absolute power. How do you apply our customary understanding of power against this? This is a juggernaut. What do we do? 888-874-4888 is a number to call right after this short break. We'll come back to your thoughts. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm trying in my own little humble way to get us to start thinking differently about exactly where we are in this historical period of time. Your calls at 888-874-4888. From Baltimore, Marie, you're on the air.
Hi again, Latrice, as usual, you give wonderful shows. Words can't, I can't put words, good words in that I would like to put in, and you stir up the people's minds and everything. I just recently heard, I think today, that Trump said he's going to put all these dudes, D-U-D-E-S, in jail. Now, that word dudes, I think, comes from the African-American community. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that means blacks.
It also means
mostly.
Latinos.
Go ahead,
he's talking in the Western jargon before he used the word hombres, the Spanish word for men. So now he's kind of anglicized it a little bit, taken the specifically cultural edge off to make it more generic. But that's exactly where he originally went with the word.
Oh, not blacks?
No. He talked about the bad hombres, you know, the ones who were crossing the border and killing people and raping people and doing all this havoc. And now, because he has been informed that it is overtly racist, he has decided to kind of take the edge off there. But it's been the same sentiment. People of color, generally.
Well, yeah, and I have no solution. It just makes me angry. And it also indicates to me that the higher-ups are at war with the lower ones.
No question.
I have nothing more to say, but I am totally upset with this country, and I hope they don't do anything dangerous with Gary Null. Have a good day, dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Marie, for your call and for getting us started today. Perry from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. But if you could speak directly into your phone, because we're picking up an echo.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't actually expect to get through, but I'm glad that I did. I've been meaning to call for quite some time. I am very, very curious Well, there's an old saying, there's nothing new under the sun. So my curiosity extends to, I listen to you, and I hear this alarmist. I hear this gloom and doom. And I know your intention is to get people to think, but there truly is nothing new under the sun. Everything that's going on now has been going on literally for decades now, regardless of who was president. And in 1991, Bush Sr. said that that was the beginning of the New World Order. So I don't know why it's not being just called the New World Order. So I'm saying I'm not understanding this, and I hear a contradiction in that I hear you say, oh, what's happening to people of color, and but the whole middle class has been affected by everything that's going on, and I'm sure the whole middle class is not people of color. So, I mean, I kind of, I'm leery of why it would be just an emphasis on people of color unless you want the people of color to panic. Because if the erosion is taking place with the whole middle class, then everyone is. So it's not a plan against people of color. It's a plan against everyone that's not elitist. The other thing is your use of the word power. Power, this is not power that we are watching. We are watching force, an armed force at that. There's a big difference between force and power. Power is never manipulative. Power is never forced, armed, threatened. Power is, I would equate with what Malcolm X had. He had power because people succumbed to their, by their own will. Anything that is done at the end of a gun is not in any way power. It's simply authority being manifested through force. Okay, and I think we really need to understand and stop perhaps using the word, oh, this is ultimate power. It's ultimate force. Okay?
Okay, so I'm listening. I appreciate your points. However, I will still say to you that perhaps you didn't, or I wasn't clear enough about what my point was, which is we're beyond these definitions and so forth. We're beyond that. Whether you construe it to be power or force, the fact is you are at the end of it. You're on the wrong side of it. And it makes no difference. There's no comfort to be had by believing yourself to be a victim of power or a victim of force. The idea is that we are wide open to attack, and we have, at least from my perspective, we have few, if any, defenses that are workable. And that could yield results at the moment. We have been betrayed by every single organized system of defense that we have invested in, and we continue to invest in systems that will not work for us. So I'm beyond the theoretical and the hypothetical. I'm saying if you sense a certain alarm, you're correct. I'm alarmed that we are not getting this message yet. The danger that we are in by being literally wide open to attack. We have no defenses.
We've always been wide open to attack. Overt and covert, it's always been there. And I don't think we've moved past semantics or wording simply because that's all we have to describe the life that we're living. So we can't eradicate the terminology.
But that too has got to go, because that has become itself an explanation and a justification for why we shouldn't even try. This is the way it's always been. So the way it's always been becomes itself a kind of rationale for us to accept defeat before we even implement some kind of a reaction to it. So I'm saying
to us. That's what I'm getting from you. Honestly, that's what I'm getting from you. I'm well, the one that's referring to your terminology. If there was no words to be utilized, then you wouldn't be even talking to us. All I'm saying to you is, I think if we're going to use wording in our conversation, that the wording should be apropos to the meaning. And power and authority on force are very, 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 very different dynamics.
All right. I'm saying to you, let's say I concede to your point. Fine. I'm not arguing with it. But I'm saying just the same, my meaning, my intent is exactly as you read it, to raise an alarm. My intent is to get people concerned. My intent is to cause people to think about where we are. And if I didn't use the right word, or I used the right words incorrectly, I beg your pardon and forgiveness. But the main thing I'm trying to do is to wake people up.
And I know that people are awake. I'm sorry. They just don't know what to do at this point. Okay? I mean, when you have an election where only millionaires / billionaires can run, people are cognizant of that. They know that they cannot run. But everybody is not. As the situation progresses, as it was prophesized, as it progresses, then people will become more enlightened. People are aware. I always listen to the radio and resent that there are people are sleeping. They're not sleeping. They are just at this point impotent.
But I never did say that people are sleeping. I'm saying that people are not being as involved as they need to be in really understanding where we are. They're not sleeping. They're not, you know, I wouldn't be so presumptuous to say that people are sleeping and they're not awake. I'm saying also that those who are awake are not necessarily understanding what this system will bring or what it's designed to do. And they need to get more involved in taking a look at all of the elements that we're coping with from day to day. It is not enough simply to be awake. You have to be intelligently awake. Thanks so much for your call. We have room for at least one more. Don from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Don. Okay, Gwen, you're on the air.
Heard from you in a while. How are you?
Hello, Gwen. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. How are you, Utrecht?
Fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm okay. I haven't heard from you in a long, long time. I used to call you when I lived. You haven't been around here in a long time, but I found you when I found Gary Noel.
So, great.
You're right in back of him. So I just want to say that, you know, I think you gave a brilliant synopsis of where we are. I agree with you on that point, but I think that it is not enough for people just to describe where we are, because I do disagree with you that people do know how dangerous it is, and they do not know what to do, and we cannot count on the people that are elected, and we also can't get elected. I mean, I myself think I'm a really damn good candidate, and it wasn't just not having the money to get elected, but there is the total and utter apathy of people even coming out. Then the next thing is you can't go up against the Democratic Established Party because they will decimate you. I mean, they really will decimate you. And even this morning at the drugstore, I was talking to a woman who said, I hate Donald Trump, but I don't vote. I never vote. I said, why don't you vote? Because I hate voting. Okay, so you hate voting, and I don't like Hillary, and I didn't vote for her either, but I showed up. And it's getting harder and harder, even with all of my political understanding, to show up. I still show up. But I also think that the idea of the such an alarming conversation, I agree that we are where we are, but I also think that everybody's going to have to come out then. It's not just enough for the people on the radio to continue to talk about it. We just all have to show up and all come out. You happen to be brilliant. You happen to be a wonderful leader. I've often, you know, when I heard you before, thought, why isn't this woman running for some public office?
I'm running from office. I've made this
I know
clear.
That. But you want to know, I know that, and I've heard you say that for years, but sometimes we have to put ourselves last. I mean, you have all this information, and you are very, very smart, and you're ahead of the game, and behind us is all the disinformation. First, you have to get through all of the people that have been disinformed for years and years and years, then through the apathy. I mean, by the time we get to that place, I guess we're all going to be in cages, and I don't think this is the first time we've gone through this. This is going to be, you know, 50 years ago we went through this, and I think it's going to come to all of us. I don't think it's going to come to just a few people or middle class. It's coming to all of us. And I do agree that this is amazingly dangerous. And I also wanted to say, the woman was talking about the New World Order. Well, I want to tell you something. I heard John McCain on TV coming right out and talking about he liked living in the New World Order, and that's where we are here. It's almost like we're at the crash of a couple of different civilizations behind the scenes. And I'm watching what's going on with Le Pen in France, and I'm watching her connection to Russia. And it's almost like there was a deal that was made with, you know, these huge countries behind the scenes of who's going to divvy up the power and how we're going to go ahead and do that. I just wonder if that's, you know, something that's really happening, but it just seems kind of coincidental that all of these things are sort of happening at the same time. I guess it's not really, you know, it happened in World War II, or it happened, you know, 55 years ago or 70 years ago as well. But I do think that it is really frightening and makes people not able to even get out and do the things they need to do when they feel so overwhelmed. I'm not saying that we need to soft sell things, but I think that the idea, I have seen people that are activists right now that have never been activists. I can't believe it. I think my sister turned into me. I said, what happened? How come you're out every day? She said, I finally realized, you know, the urgency of what's going on. And so she's like, she turned into me. Unfortunately for me, I got married during all this, fighting the rezoning of 125th Street. Believe it or not, my husband and I could not.
You went up with your placard to say I do?
I went up. I fell in love with the most wonderful man in the world, my just the best man in the world. We both fought to save the corridor. We couldn't save it from nasty Viverito. But I met my husband, Peter, and we got married, and we were madly in love. And as a matter of fact, we worked very hard on the Bernie's tour. I mean, I don't know who else would go willingly to Camden with me just because I said, let's go. But my husband did, because I wanted a campaign down there. And unfortunately, he died on May 20th this year. So my heart's broken. And it's been really hard for me to come back out because I feel so depleted.
The thing that I'm trying to do in my own little contribution is, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm saying, why can't we just begin as a group effort to think carefully about what we can do, but right, within the context of understanding what the system is. We talk about it. And this is not about providing answers and a game plan, but
right,
the most important game plan is sharing knowledge. That's where we start.
I agree and with the, you, but I also think people are actually...
We have to go because we're completely out of time. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you all for calling. And stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let's talk some more. We'll do that tomorrow. A pleasure and a great privilege to be with you today. Bye-bye.